Let's turn back again to Psalm 135. Our text this morning is verse 6. Let's hear the word of God. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless us as we have opportunity to open it. And Holy Spirit, illuminate the scripture to us that we might have a heart and a mind of understanding. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, sometimes it seems like it goes in spurts, but how often has it been since you've gone out, maybe gone to a mall or a Walmart or something like that, and coming out, you'll be approached by somebody who has something to offer you. You know, they want you to take a chance on something, buy a raffle ticket for a good cause. It's always a good cause. In their minds, it's always a good cause. Happens a bit. People every week spend millions of dollars on a lottery, taking a chance that they'll win millions of dollars. And millions of dollars are spent over and over and over. And very few people actually win those millions of dollars. Well, the odds are so stifling against you. You know, they're terrible. And yet we still do it. You know, you still go out there and you still, you know, got to take the chance. For years, educators, godless ones, have indoctrinated little impressionable kids with the idea that this world began by chance. At some historical point, likely billions and billions of years ago, a combination of gases exploded. And that explosion, the reaction to that explosion was such that it created all forms of life. What are the odds? What's the possibility? I mean, they portray themselves as geniuses, but really, how stupid do you have to be to believe that? You know? All of it by chance. I heard the story one time about the guy who had a nice new Rolex watch. Rolex watches are very expensive. And guy took it, started prying it apart, just took it all to pieces, you know, threw it in a paper bag and shook it up. And he said, should come together. Should work, right? That's how it all happens. It just, you know, no, there's no rhyme or reason. It just happens. They want you to believe that. Chance is essentially a pagan belief. The notion that events occur, that they just happen without any connection to God. That's the emphasis, that it's something separate from God that makes anything and everything happen. It's crazy talk. But it gives a degree of comfort to the pagan conscience, because if that's the way it really happens, it takes away any idea that there's an accountability to an almighty God. It removes the thought of an idea that one day there will be a judgment that they must go through. I mean, if all this happens by chance, if everything is just, there it is. Who do you have to account to? You know? There are Christians who hold to a false teaching that's commonly referred to as Arminianism. And it believes, Arminianism teaches your faith comes to you by chance. That, the will of man acts without any predetermined certainty. It just happens. It says that the will of man balances between a couple of different possibilities. That God leaves the choice for salvation entirely up to men. And some happen to find it, and others don't. Doesn't that give you a reason to boast? If you made a right choice, all these people are presented with the same truth, with the same gospel message, but you made the right choice. So aren't you special? I'm going to tell you, yeah, you are special. But you didn't make any right choices. God made a choice for you. Long, long time ago. Scriptures teach us that in the beginning, God. In the beginning. When was the beginning? If you start thinking about that, your head's going to hurt. But in the beginning, God created. And in the beginning, God determined that you would be his child. He has a predetermined plan. In the creation of the earth, he had a predetermined plan. He said, in 6 days, I'm going to put this thing all together. I don't think you and I could do this in 6 days. Everything that God did in 6 24-hour days. How long would it take a man? How long does it take a man to dig a 1-acre pond, let alone an ocean? God did everything, and he said everything was good when he did it. He created to be what was meant to be. Did you know that when he created trees, that they were supposed to produce trees? It's crazy, isn't it? Trees made other trees. Now, evergreens don't make apple trees, but they're still trees. And they make after their own kind. Did you know that God made absolutely no mistake when it came to human gender? Oh, man. You listen to the modern people today, they're going to tell you God missed the boat. Yeah. That tells us, hey, God created and male and female, he created them. He didn't have any subsets, you know? There were no transgenders. I'll tell you this morning, there is no such thing as a transgender. There's not. Forgive my crudeness, but there's just queers, you know? And there's men, women, and those who pervert what God had ordained to be so. Nothing happens by chance. They try to tell us today that little babies in the womb are confused about what they are. That's incredible. Because they're willing to kill that little baby. They say this little baby can make a decision like that, but they're willing to kill that little baby. Because, well, it's not a baby, right? The madness of the mind of men. Nothing happens by chance, including the exercise of man's will. Now, God is not a programmer, and he doesn't make us do things against our will. But the things that we do are in his will. Proverbs 21:1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wills. The passage that we're looking at this morning, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. And that's okay with me. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. Now, we can get into conversations, and sometimes you'll be involved with somebody, and they'll agree with you that nothing happens by chance, and they'll with certainty tell you that everything happens for a reason. But then they quickly follow it with, we'll just have to leave it to fate. Doris Day had a big song back in the 50s, Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No. There's no orchestration in that, you know? It's like everybody just doing what they do, and then they have no choice to do it. On the surface, there is a similarity between fate and the true doctrine of predeterminism, or what we sometimes refer to as just God's decree. There is a surface similarity to those things. But fate at its core is meaningless, it's merciless, and it's hopeless. If you're resolved to fate, you're stuck. Fate says, if I'm powerless to change anything, or to do anything, or to be anything, or whatever, I might as well just give up. If I have no chance to do anything else, I might as well just forget about it. Why bother? Why expend the energy? Webster had a couple of definitions for fate. He said, on the one hand, it was an inevitable necessity. And then he went this way. He said, primarily, it's a decree or a word pronounced by God. And yet fate, the idea of fate, actually goes back to Greek and Roman mythology. There were three fates in the Roman and Greek mythology that were goddesses, and they controlled different things, different areas, kind of stuff. And people just fell into it and said, well, if this happens, it's the fates. The fates have made this to be the case. We don't think at all. We don't involve God at all in the thought. God has ordained that all that we encounter in life, whatever it is, he has ordained it to take place. He has ordained it to occur. He guides us, though, through these things. God overshadows us. God, more importantly, cares for us. And we refer to that as providence. The care of God for his people is providence. Unlike fate, providence is divinely ordered. Unlike fate, providence is meaningful. It is merciful, and it is hopeful. And the difference, another difference between fate and providence, fate, you throw up your hands and say, okay, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. Under the hand of providence, we are active. We are doing things. We're thinking, we're at, you know, participating in stuff. You know, we're involved. And he involves us, God involves us, even if our involvement is simply limited to prayer. Even if the involvement that we engage in is just an utterance of thanksgiving. Just saying to God, thank you for this today. Thank you for taking me here. Thank you for moving me there. Thank you for blessing me this way. Thank you for challenging me that way. All of these things. We are involved in them by God's ordination and by his grace. And he goes through these things with us. He doesn't leave us alone. Somebody will argue, they'll say, well, okay, if God controls everything, things are going to turn out the same no matter what I do. And if we argue in this manner, we contradict ourselves. How so? First of all, we presuppose that God controls everything, which is true. That's an absolute fact. But then we suppose that any action we take is random or uncertain. We don't rest in the truth of God's guidance for us, of God's care for us, of God's leading us through these times. We'll say, you know what, if all things are fixed by divine decree and makes no difference whether events A, B, and C take place, we're all still going to arrive at event D. If we say, if God's not involved in that, you know, whatever. But here's the thing. Events A, B, and C are events that we have to go through in order to arrive at D. X to the second power. Yeah, no, that's not going to do any algebra. We start with the supposition that God is in control and that he controls all these things. But if God controls them all, and he is a God of order, they're going to work out only if each event leading to it also works according to the plan. God is very organized. So, you know, truthfully, sometimes in life you start to wonder. Sometimes you look about yourself and you say, hey, well, how did this happen? Where did this come from? Because we don't have the mind of God. And yet, he is faithful to make things happen that need to happen. He's faithful to keep things from happening that need not happen. He's faithful in providing us with the grace to rest in his goodness regardless of that situation. He's faithful. His providence is overwhelming, in fact. In matters of salvation, we can't argue that we will be saved no matter what we do. Too many people have gotten in trouble through the years, having been told because you came to an altar and you received some information and somebody said a prayer with you, that now you're saved and you're good to go. And he said, hey, that's cool. I'm glad that's good to go. Because now I can go out and live my life however I want and know that I'm okay with God. I've taken the steps. I've done the things that I need to do. It's not the case. I've said it a million times. You can't say that you're a Christian and live like a hellion. You can't do it. Because there's a disconnect there. There's a disconnect between what the advertising says and what the life portrays. We have to demonstrate, and we will demonstrate naturally our salvation if we do what God says. If we're Christians, our nature, which is a new one, will be to do according to what God's principles are. You ever going to flub up? Of course you will. But so what? You take care of that. You take care of business with God and you move on. You don't stay there forever. God works all things according to the counsel of His will. He said so. Ephesians 1:11. The 37th Psalm, we're reminded that the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. We don't walk alone. We don't walk in fate. Nothing happens by chance. God controls the universe. And because it's God who does the controlling, the ideas of fate and things get ruled out. There is those things, those ideas need to be removed from our thinking. They say, oh, well, that was going to happen anyway. Well, maybe it was going to happen anyway. But it's the hand of God that's taking you through something. It's not the resolution of fate. Our confidence rests in God's providence. I know, sometimes it's a hard concept. Because we sometimes think too much. Now we should be thinking. We should be using our minds the way God ordained for us to use them. But we don't overthink stuff. People will go mad trying to search the scriptures to see what God says about specific things. And sometimes God doesn't speak specifically. God gives us principles. There are some things that He addresses directly. You know, He gave us 10 commandments. He gave Moses 10 commandments for us to look at. The whole purpose of those 10 commandments was to show us what we can't do, why we need a Savior. That's what the commandments do. It tells you what you can't do, what you are incapable of, why you need to trust wholly and thoroughly on Jesus. God didn't do all this and say, oh, okay, you're on your own. Leave it to chance. God's got a plan. As a child of God, He's got a plan for you. And we'll see it through. He told us, Paul wrote, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You can rest in that. You can rest in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,